All right, everybody, what's up? Welcome to episode 61 of Feel Good Friday. That's right, we are back. I'm in my office right now, finally utilizing the space. Really, explore the space. I need more cowbell. Maybe I'll add a cowbell on the show. I don't know. Go buy a cowbell at some thrift shop and then just randomly in the middle of an episode say, cowbell alert, and then I hit it. And saying that out loud, that sounds like a really dumb fucking idea. But whatever. It sounded good when I thought about it literally 10 seconds ago. And then I said it and I was like, that's dumb. And that's a great summary of my life. But we are back for episode 61. You can't get rid of me. You just can't. Try as you might, you cannot. I am the Michael Myers of the very, 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 very unknown podcast category. Yeah. You know, you think I'm gone. You think I'm dead. You light me on fire. You chop my head off. You get a whole group of villagers around and you start chanting, evil dies tonight. Evil dies tonight in a hospital, which is a weird place to do that. And then you kill someone that you think is me, but it turns out it wasn't me. And you realize it very quickly after, like that person dies and you're like, fuck, that wasn't him. Was it him? I don't know. Probably not. Whoops. We just killed a random guy. And then for a second you feel bad. You're like, what are we doing? And then the next second you're like, now we have to kill him because we killed this guy instead. So technically his blood is on, you know, Michael Myers' hands because we thought it was him. So it's not our fault. We're all good. And then you find me again and you kind of corner me in the street. You circle around me and trap me in. And then you beat the shit out of me. And you think you actually beat me to death. And then I just get up and I kill everyone and I make episode 61 of Feel Good Friday. Yeah. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Got to come back for the money. That penny a stream, whew, that helped me out big time in Disney World. I cashed in. I cashed in my accumulation earnings, whatever you want to call it, that I had up to this point of podcasting before I went to Disney. And that got me a whole beer at Disney World. So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. I don't want to brag, but make way Joe Rogan, you know, make way Howard Stern, the new voice of podcasting and radio is on his way. This is my ascension. Maybe it's this episode. Maybe now that I'm in my office, the acoustics will sound really nice. I tried the garage the other time and it sounded all right, but I feel better about this one for some reason. And this one's got more of my shit up. You know, I got some vinyls on the wall. I got my Beastie Boys, Licensed to Ill. I got the Bloodhound Gang, Hooray for Boobies, both vinyls. Very cool. I got Andrew WK, I Get Wet, one of my favorite albums of all time. I got Kanye West, The College Dropout. I got some badass vinyls that maybe not a lot of other people have. Licensed to Ill, College Dropout, sure. I'm positive not a lot of people have Hooray for Boobies on vinyl, but I'll tell you what, I do. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fantastic album, and I miss the Bloodhound Gang, I'll be honest. I'm hoping for some kind of reunion tour. Really miss them. But anyway, episode 61, just me today. Don't worry, I'll have guests back on. I got a lot of guests coming up. I got Tyson Cox, great comedian out of the Midwest. He's going to be on soon. We're just scheduling that. And then I'm also rescheduling with Ebony Mystique. She responded. She did not ghost me. I know episodes past I said she ghosted me. I thought she did, but she responded. She was just busy. What are you going to do? She was just busy. Life is crazy. I get it. I understand. So we're working on that. I got my buddy Vince coming on. We're going to do an MLB preview special. I wanted it to be a bunch of people. Last year I did it with Matt Lukens. I wanted him back on. I wanted Vince, my buddies from work, Mike Duffner and Dennis and Craig. But Vince was the only one that could make it. I don't call it settling for Vince. I'm happy he's on. Vince has been on before. It was a great episode. We had a great conversation, covered a whole lot of shit. He's got a great voice for this kind of stuff. He's got this positivity that is contagious. You know, I don't know whether it's just his charm or his laugh or, well, his charm and his laugh, but still, you know, that's good. Those are two great qualities. So he's got that. And he knows a hell of a lot about baseball. We talked about baseball when he was on before, but we're going to go real into it. We're going balls deep, not it just into the baseball conversation, nothing physical. Don't worry. It won't get weird or anything like that. When does this podcast ever get weird? Hold on, let me get this finger out of my ass. Oof, that stinks. Anyway, but just me today. I still got a lot to talk about. Everything from Morgan Wallen's new, quote-unquote, new album. It's been a few weeks, but I haven't really had a chance to do an episode on my own for a while, so Morgan Wallen's album, 36 songs. Going to go through that, tell you what I think. Chris Rock's new stand-up special. Again, quote-unquote new. It's kind of old, but I haven't done an episode in a while, by myself at least. I want to talk about March Madness, some sports talk. You know, the playoffs are coming up for basketball and hockey. And maybe just some general life stuff. You know, I woke up this morning, it was raining, it made me feel at ease. I could talk about my love for rain. Maybe I'll re-rank the seasons because I think I might put winter last. Because winter is great. I did that as Christmas was like on its way. So I was like, I had the spirit, you know, I had the holiday spirit all up in me. It was way in me. It was like, it felt a little violating. I think that's a word. Fingers crossed. But once Christmas is over, winter's very depressing. Very depressing. Cassie and I don't do much for Valentine's Day. We got so much other shit to celebrate. So it's like Valentine's Day is just, you know, that's basically a non-existent one for us. So, yeah, I think I might put winter last. I think spring is third, now that I'm thinking about it. And I can get into that later. But real quick, I know I mentioned a little Michael Myers anecdote in the opening. You remember that? That was like 2 minutes ago. It's cool if you forgot. I say a lot of dumb stuff, and I think a lot of it will go right over your head. Not like you don't understand it. Just like you're kind of like, this guy is saying so much dumb shit that I'm just going to filter a lot of it out and maybe I'll catch a sentence or two. So I understand if you don't remember me talking about Michael Myers literally like 3 minutes ago. But I did talk about Michael Myers. I compared me still podcasting to him still surviving every movie. Even though the last one is called Halloween Ends, it's literally saying, hey, this is the end of the Halloween franchise. No. He's going to be back. They make too much money. It's the same reason Scream 7 is already greenlit. Scream 6 literally just came out a week ago. And Scream 7 is like fucking, everyone's talking about who's going to be the killer for Scream 7. They're just moving on to the next one already. People love that stuff. I'm not going to lie. I love it too. A few horror movies that I've seen though since, or at least a few ones that I've watched. We'll say that because I've seen some of them before. I watched Skinamarink. I know I mentioned that briefly before. I think in the last one, I mentioned it very, very quickly. Skinamarink, I was excited for it, and I think I got my hopes up way too high. It was all right. It was not as bad as a lot of people are saying. A lot of people are like, I turned it off 10 minutes in. I'm like, well, I don't know. That's kind of, like, give it a chance. You know? What else do you have to do? Oh, fuck. Did you hear that? I don't know if that caught. That had a hell of a neck crack. A hell of a neck crack. Oh, that felt good. It's a good day. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, Skinamarink. So this is how I'm describing it to people if they ask me. And trust me, people are asking me. People are like, Joe, why did you think of Skinamarink? And I'm like, get your hands off my balls. Grandma? I'm just kidding. That was gross. Skinamarink, though. I'm like, hey, you know the tape from The Ring? And they're like, yeah. And I go, imagine that for like 100 minutes with a very thin plot line. Yeah. I think that's accurate. Someone disagree. I don't know. The last shot was very haunting. The last shot stuck with me, but, and there, don't get me wrong, there were a couple of moments that I was like, ooh, that's spooky. Got some chills, you know? But overall, I might watch it again just to see if it's better upon a second viewing, if I notice things I didn't notice before, something like that. I'm not watching it again because I'm like, that was so good, I want to watch it again. I would watch it again just to see if it was better. Maybe I had my hopes up too high. Adjust that. So, Skinamarink, I don't know, it was all right. Watch Jeepers Creepers Reborn, finally. I was looking forward to that because if you don't know, Jeepers Creepers is my favorite horror movie. Jeepers Creepers 2 is fantastic. I love it. It's a good time. I love that plot. Just stranded in the middle of the, like, on the bus. It's just, it's great. Then Jeepers Creepers 3 was awful. It was damn near unwatchable, which is such a bummer. Like, you can, like, Jeepers Creepers 2 was actually, in my opinion, a good horror movie. And then Jeepers Creepers 3 is unwatchable. Like, I'm trying to watch Pain Olympics before Jeepers Creepers 3. That's saying something. So Jeepers Creepers Reborn that just came out recently, I think last year, got my hopes up again. I'm like, they're going to do it right. And it just, it wasn't as bad as 3, but it was definitely not as good as 2 and absolutely not as good as 1. It has the feel of like a student-made film. Everyone's young in it. There's like 3 old people in the entire movie. And then there are like people who I think should be played by older people, played by young people, and that just sat weird to me. Like the psychic lady, her name's like Lady Manila, and she's played by like what looks like a 30-year-old, maybe, that's highballing it probably. So that was weird. Bad background effects, the CGI or whatever they used. The kills are decent at best. I know Jeepers Creepers isn't necessarily known for the kills. You know, it's not like creative, like it's just this creeper just ripping people up. And he does a fair amount of ripping people up, but I think it's just, it's poor, like not poor quality. It's better than anything I could do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like, yeah, I could have done better. Like maybe with a budget, I could have. All right. I will say that with a budget, I could have done better. But as I currently stand with my current number in my account, I could not do better. So did I enjoy it? Couple parts. 2-3 parts. Maybe 2-3-4. But overall, probably not watching that one again. Bummer. That franchise, man. So downhill so quickly. Such potential. And then just fucking off a goddamn cliff. Bummer. Now, I know I've just 2 negative reviews in a row. Not trying to do that. And I know you're like, Joe, you're going to review Scream 6, huh? You're going to do it? Can't do it. I haven't seen it yet. No, I have not seen Scream 6 yet, all right? Get off me. Get off my dick. I haven't seen Scream 6. It's hard to get to the movie theaters when you have a child, all right? Had I not had a child, I would have seen Scream 6 by now. But I have a child who I love and choose not to neglect. So I have not seen Scream 6. I will. I'm sure it'll come out on Paramount Plus in like a month if I don't get to the theater. So don't worry. I am watching the Screams to get like, you know, kind of refresh and get a little pump for it. I'm on Scream 3 right now. Parker Posey in Scream 3. Parker Posey in Scream 3 might be an all-time crush for me. She is so funny in that, and it's like she's goofy, but she's still hot. Pulls it off. Parker Posey. If you're listening to this, and let's face it, you probably are, just feel free to hit me up. I'll talk to Cassie, see if I could, we could do a little Three's Company type of thing. We'll see what we can do. See if I could swing that, you know what I mean? Full swing. Yeah, hole in one. So Scream 3, I watched Scream 2, and then Scream 1, obviously. Never going to pass up an opportunity to watch that. I do love the Scream franchise. Scream 4 is next. I hate Emma Roberts in it. I hate that she is the killer. because I, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Emma Roberts, I don't get the hype. She was huge for a while, and I just never bought in. It's like Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick was funny. Anna Kendrick I can get. But Emma Roberts, she just didn't seem like, she had no, not personality, but like, just seemed very boring, you know? And, she was the killer in 4, and anyway. So, I have not seen Scream 6 yet, but I will. And then also, real quick, I want to send some flowers to Steve Beck. Steve Beck is the, Steve Beck, that's like, my sister Becky and then her fiance Steve Beck. He was the director of Ghost Ship and 13 Ghosts. Two great horror movies, in my opinion. Not a lot of people agree. I get it. But like Ghost Ship has one of the greatest openings of all time. Again, in my opinion. Don't come after me. It's my opinion. I can say what the fuck I want. You can go on your podcast and say the opening sucked and that you like pineapple on pizza. And that you sit when you pee. All right, go do that. Leave me alone. But Ghost Ship and 13 Ghosts were two big movies growing up, and then Steve Beck just didn't do anything. I mean, he's done stuff, but it's not like I expected this guy to be the next Wes Craven, the next John Carpenter, but like making R-rated ghost films. And it just didn't happen. So Ghost Ship and 13 Ghosts, and then he was out. But again, he left a legacy of two of my favorite horror movies. So I appreciate you for that, Steve Beck. You're a good man. I'd shake your hand. Again, you, just like Parker Posey, are probably listening to this podcast. So feel free to hit me up. See if I can get a little Three's Company thing. You know what I mean? You can get behind me and we'll make it work. Yeah. Just kidding. Of course. Of course. Don't worry. Don't start any rumors. All right. That was my little rapid horror movie review thing. Words. It's been 17 minutes. I'm running out of steam here. I need some coffee. I don't drink coffee. All right, I need an energy drink. I don't drink those either. I don't know. Caffeine? I barely drink that. I drink Crystal Light all day. You know? Cassie got me hooked on the Crystal Light. Raspberry iced tea. Raspberry iced tea. Raspberry iced tea is the best flavor of Crystal Light. And then, of course, fruit punch. And then sweet tea is great. Those are my top three. Not that you care. You didn't ask for it. But you didn't ask for a podcast either, and here I am. So, that's my intro. When we get back, we got some shit to talk about, like I mentioned earlier. Just me today. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Episode 61. Let's fucking do this, guys, huh? Yeah. Woo, bravado. All right, everybody, and we're back. Don't you worry, I'm still here. This train keeps a chugging. Train Joe. I really wanted a cooler name right there, but Train Joe just came out, so that's the one you're gonna get. And you know, suck on that, right? I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to be so aggressive. You don't have to suck on it. Just take it as you will. Take it with a grain of salt. They've been saying that since the 60s. Probably before that. I don't know. I'll have to ask Nick. Anyway, something I forgot to add to my rapid horror movie review segment, The Invisible Man. The recent Invisible Man, not the one, the Universal classic, the new Universal one. Real good. Real good. It's a shame because I think they were trying to start a new Universal Monsters universe. So they had the Invisible Man, and then there was also the Mummy with Tom Cruise. But the Mummy was just a big piece of shit. Even though it had Tom Cruise in it, like, even Tom Cruise can do flops. Biggest movie star of all time, he can do flops. The Mummy. There you go. But The Invisible Man, I don't think, I would not consider that a flop. I don't know how well it did in the box office, but critically it did well. And to me, it was fantastic. It was very creepy at parts, because the thing is, it's like a slasher in a way, because it's this real guy. It's an obsessive ex-boyfriend, fakes his own death, and then starts stalking his ex. But he's got the invisible suit, so no one sees him. He makes her look insane. Insane. I won't go into all the stuff that he does, because I really don't want to ruin it for you. I want to recommend this movie, and you tell me what you think. I loved it. Real good time. It's a very dark movie, as in, like, not well lit. It's not like a lighthearted movie either. It's pretty dark. There's a lot of bad shit that happens, but it's not, you know, it's not like Schindler's List. It's just not well lit in a lot of places. So I would watch it at night. Also, it's a horror movie, so you're going to want to watch it at night anyway. It makes it that much better. If you could find a rainy night, even better. Then you can crack the window open just a little bit. You don't want to let any water in. But, like, you know, you can crack it open just so you can hear it. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. That actually leads me to, The Invisible Man. That leads me to what I was saying earlier about re-ranking the seasons. It's all about the rain. And the rain is huge here. Rain in March, when it's spring, it may not be the highest temperature. Like, it may not be comfortable. It's like 40s and 50s, you know, and rainy. But you know what's coming. So there's that sense of, like, okay, soon enough, it's going to be sunny and it's going to be, like, super warm, and we're going to be in the pools and we're going to be grilling and playing bags and drinking beers on the porch during the day and wearing sunglasses all the time and getting tan, you know, tan and nude on the back porch for all your neighbors to see. Not all your neighbors. You don't want all of them to see, because, you know, that's illegal. So, just some of them. Anyway, not trying to incriminate myself here. I don't tan naked for anyone to see. I wear a Speedo. Moving on. Yeah, so the rain in March, you know what's coming, and there's a sense of comfort there. But the rain in, like, November, you know what's coming. Winter is coming. Shout out Game of Thrones. November rain, shout out Guns N' Roses. A couple of shout outs right there. Two really cool things, in my opinion, Game of Thrones and Guns N' Roses. But November rain, you know what's coming, and it's not good. You know that soon enough, that rain is going to be snow, and then it's going to be ice or sleet, and your car is going to be slipping all over the road because you have a little Kia Rio, and then some guy's going to get behind you in a truck, and he's going to be riding your ass, and he's going to beep at you, and you're going to be like, go the fuck around me, you idiot. I have a Kia Rio. You have a Ford F-150 fucking shit. Just go around me. I don't have four-wheel drive. I'm literally white-knuckling it, praying to any god that will listen that I can make it to Trader Joe's on time and not die. So that's why I think spring might take control of the three spot over winter. But just a little tidbit right there. Anyway, let's get into a couple new albums that have gotten released. I know I said I was going to get into Morgan Wallen's, but real quick, let me talk about Luke Combs' new album as well, Getting Old. I believe it's the follow-up to Growing Up. So it's like the way he kind of did his albums before. Like, What You See Is What You Get, and then What You See Ain't Always What You Get. Those were two albums right there. Well, kind of. What You See Ain't Always What You Get was a deluxe version. And then This One's For You, This One's For You Too. Like, he releases these two-parters, but Growing Up and Getting Old are two completely different albums. However, it is kind of like a two-parter if you look at the art on the cover of the albums. Like, if you put them together, Getting Old on the right and Growing Up on the left, if you put them together, his full face will form, and then there's two sides to the picture. So, kind of cool. I like that he does that. It's always a two-parter, you can expect. It's like the Jackass movies, that they would release the Jackass movie, and then the 0.5 version would come out. So Getting Old is the second part of Growing Up, and it's solid. Luke Combs is definitely one of my favorite country artists. I believe he's top three. It's Morgan Wallen, Hardy, and Luke Combs. I don't even know if it's necessarily in that order. Zach Brown Band is up there. Larry Fleet, Charlie Crockett. There's a whole bunch, but Spencer Burns, I really like, the up and comer. But Luke Combs, he's one of those that it's hard for him to miss these days. He's got the voice for it. He sings with, you could tell he just sings with all his heart and passion, and it just comes out on the mic. So it's an 18 song album, just over an hour. It's an hour and 6 minutes, so it's not the longest thing ever, but hey, that's okay. I don't need it to be some fucking Metallica 8 minute long song, every song masterpiece. Country is supposed to be simple, I think. I think that's the beauty of country, is that it's so simple. But that's what also makes it effective, is because it's simple, and in that sense, it's relatable. It's about a guy who is, you know, he's had a long day, so he just wants to get a beer. So he goes to his favorite bar. And I think there's a beauty in that. I'm getting emotional right now. I'm an advocate for country these days. It's been over a year now. I'm fully into it. This isn't a phase. This isn't a scene thing. I think country might be it. I think country might be it for me as I enter my 30s this year. I'm really settling into my genres, and country is right up there along with classic rock. And by classic rock, I mean everything up to the 90s. I don't consider Nirvana, Foo Fighters, all that alternative. Like, I don't consider that classic rock. Partly because I grew up with it, yes. Partly because, I don't know. I just don't sing like In Bloom or Come As You Are the same way I sing We Will Rock You or We Are the Champions. I know I just named two Queen songs, and there's literally so many other songs I could have named, but I went with two Queen ones in a row. Whatever. Don't ask. Don't tell either. Hey, just kidding. But yeah, Luke Combs, the new album Getting Old, actually just dropped today. So it is brand spanking new. Did you hear that? I just spanked myself for you. You're welcome. You could take that one home with you. So it starts off with the song Growing Up and Getting Old. It's a fantastic song. And I kind of, like, it kind of hit me. I think I'm, because of Finn, I've hit this maturity stride. Not maturity, obviously. I just fucking spanked myself. Like, I recorded myself spanking myself. So there's definitely not, like, I'm not mature, but I'm not going out every weekend and going to the bar and doing Vegas bombs and on TikTok. Like, I'm an old soul. I'm an old soul. I make a lot of, I have a lot of humor that is not mature, but I think old and mature, like, you can grow up, or you can grow old, but you don't have to grow up. You know, that type of thing. So I think I'm there. I think I'm an old soul. I think it's that kind of life for me now. And to be honest, I do appreciate it. I do. I look back and yeah, I had fun when I was going out and all that. But like, I love where I'm at right now. You know, I look at Finn. And every time I get bummed that I'm missing out on some night out, I look at Finn and I go, it's worth it. It's 100% worth it. And I would not change it. So, but then he also talks about when he does go out, he can still fucking fuck it up. You know what I mean? Raise some hell. And that is also true. When Cassie lets me off the leash. Yeah. Dog's out of the yard. Woof, woof, baby. Pissing in the tall grass with the big dick dogs. Okay. Probably took that too far. Hannah Ford Road is a good one. Back 40 back. You found yours. The beer, the band, and the bar stool. What a beautiful name. I swear, Luke Combs, you get it. Still, See Me Now. And then he has a song called Joe. Beautiful. Beautiful song. Beautiful name. That name gets me hard. Joe. Oh, something about it is just real sexy, you know? A Song Was Born, My Song Will Never Die. He apparently likes his songs. Where the Wild Things Are, Love You Anyway. I like Love You Anyway. Take You With Me, Fast Car, that's a cover. That's the Tracy Chapman cover. And I don't know. I think they're kind of pushing it as the single. It was the first one that popped up on the release radar. I don't know if that should be the single, to be honest, because it's a cover. Like, if anything, that should be a bonus track on the album, but whatever. You do as you will, you know? Tattoo on a Sunburn, Five Leaf Clover, I like that one. Fox in the Hen House, I really like that one. And then The Part, another sad one. But hey, it is Luke Combs. What do you expect, you know? The man knows about heartbreak, so he's going to sing about it. You sing what you know. You sing what you know. So that is Luke Combs. Let's get into Morgan Wallen's new album real quick. One Thing at a Time. One Thing at a Time. Don't worry. That's not a song. That was just me. I like the album, so I sang it. And that's not a song for... You get it. Just excited. Don't judge me. Number one on Morgan Wallen's 36-song album. Don't worry. I'll be quick about it. I will. Born with a Beer in My Hand. Love that. Love that name. And it's actually about how he's trying to cut down on the drinking, which, surprisingly enough, is accurate or appropriate for me. I've cut back on my drinking. I still drink, and it's chilling in the back of my mind, just like Morgan Wallen says, but I don't do it as much as I did. And I think that's good. I think that's good for me. It's good for my health. It's good for my belly. My belly has gone down a little bit. I don't feel as fat. I still feel fat, but I don't feel as fat. It's like going like to Subway over McDonald's. Like if you've listened to the Subway debacle episode that I recorded probably a few months ago at this point, you know that I go all out when I go to Subway. But it's still Subway, so I feel all right about it. Whereas if I go to McDonald's and I even just get a meal, I'm like, ah, I'm such a piece of shit. And then I just scarf it down anyway. Just nosh that shit. But so I'm not like in shape by any means, but I'm getting better and I'm cool with that. But again, I still love to have me a beer and just not doing it as much these days. Pretty cool. Maybe not. I don't know. I do see a lot of like memes on Facebook that are like, hey, sober's cool. Don't like, there are better ways to market it. Don't just be like, sober's cool, man. Like that sounds like a 90s anti-drug ad. Like straight edge is cool. Marijuana's for losers. Like don't, there are ways to market sobriety that make it attractive that aren't saying, hey, sober's cool. Sobriety's cool. Sobriety fucks. I do like that one. Sobriety fucks. Anyway. Last Night is the second song on the album. I really like that. I kept singing that when we were in Disney. Cassie was getting annoyed and she was like, all right, Morgan Wallen. And I was like, yeah, call me Morgan Wallen again. Ugh, I'm from Tennessee. Go Volunteers. I like Last Night a lot. I really do. Obviously, I was singing it throughout the Disney trip. Everything I Love is a good one. Man Made a Bar, really like that one. Devil Don't Know, that's a heartbreaker right there. One Thing at a Time, love that. Do love that. 98 Braves was an interesting one. I didn't know he was a Braves fan. Maybe he's not a Braves fan. Come to think of it, I don't think Tennessee has a baseball team. I'm trying to think Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga. No. I mean, there are obviously more places in Tennessee. But, you know, I'm just trying to think of some of the big ones. No Tennessee team for the MLB. So maybe he was a Braves fan. 98 Braves. Ain't That Some? I like Ain't That Some. I like I Wrote the Book. Tennessee Numbers, song about a breakup again and how his ex is not accepting calls from Tennessee Numbers. Risky move. What if someone from Tennessee's calling you and is like, hey, I want to offer you $5 billion, but because it's a Tennessee number, she's like, nah, I'm good. I take calls from everyone. And then, you know, half the time they're spam. A quarter of the time they're my parents. Another quarter of the time it's a friend that butt dialed me. So maybe like 1% of the time people mean to call me. I don't know. Hope that's true. I like that one. Whiskey Friends, big fan of that as well. Sunrise and Keith Whitley, two slower ones in the Bible featuring Hardy. When those two get together on a track, it's like Red, the song Red from The Mockingbird and the Crow, Hardy's newer album. When those two get together, they make good music. They should do a whole album together. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Putting it out there in the universe. If you say something, maybe it'll stick. If you throw enough dildos to the wall, one of them's going to stick. And then you can make an OnlyFans video with it. And then, you know, you get famous a little bit. Not that I would know. I don't delve into that lifestyle. U-Proof, that was, I think, one of the first singles he released. Not the first, though. I believe the first one he released was Don't Think Jesus, which is also on the album. Thought You Should Know, one of my favorite songs on the album. F-150-50, good song. Neon Star, the Country Boy Lullaby. I Deserve a Drink, I really like. Wine Into Water is decent. That's a song about making up, which, hey, that's a change of pace. Me Plus All Your Reasons, right back to a breakup song. Yeah, this guy is inconsistent, but he has a song for everything. You know what I mean? You got to cover all the bases, like the 98 Braves. Hey, it all comes back. Tennessee Fan, I really like. Money on Me, that's a good song, kind of self-deprecating. So I get that. I hate myself. Thinking About Me, Single Than She Was. I don't know if these ones are decent. Days That End Y, I really like. Last Down Oh, fuck. Now I'm mixing up words. I'm going too fast. I'm trying to rapid fire these songs at you because there's 30 fucking six of them. Now I'm mixing up my words. So where was I? Days That End in Y. Breakup song, talking about drinking. In Days That End in, it's like a, but it's called, it's spelled W-H-Y, but it's supposed to be like, I drink on days that end in Y. And it's a, I don't know, clever, I guess. You know, you can't be too clever when you're a country music artist. Again, simplicity is the beauty of country, in my opinion. Last Drive Down Main, another breakup one, Me to Me. Don't Think Jesus, that was the first one. That was the first single that he dropped from the album. And then it was Thought You Should Know. And then it was You Proof. And then the rest of them started coming out. 180 is decent. That sounds more like a pop song than a country song, but it's all right. Had It, of course, I'm sure you can figure out what that one's about. There's a common theme here. While he has songs for other moods, the majority of them are, man, she's leaving me. That's not how she sounds at all. He sounds at all. Sorry, he. Whatever you are, Morgan Wallen. Morgan could go either way. It's 2023. You be what you want to be, Morgan Wallen. Hope he doesn't hear this. Hey, just like Parker Posey and Steve Beck, he's probably listening. Steve Beck, by the way, is also, he does visual effects, and he directed a Nissan commercial. He directed a lot of commercials that I didn't mention. I didn't give him credit for, so I want to give him credit for that. So Steve Beck, you keep directing your commercials, I guess, but I would like you to direct another Ghost movie. You have Ghost Ship, you have 13 Ghosts, make like Ghosts, Ghost Burger. No, nope. That's why I'm not the director. Take it from here, Steve Beck. Cowgirls featuring Ernest. I love Ernest. Ernest, Morgan Wallen, and Hardy. I think they're all pretty good buddies. They have a lot of pictures together. Three of my favorites out there. Good Girl Gone Missing. Yeah. Morgan Wallen, you're making those good girls go bad. You're a bad boy, Morgan Wallen. You're a little cowboy. Pew, pew. Outlook. That was weird. Outlook is all right. And then Dying Man to end off the 36-song album. 36 songs and it's not even 2 hours. Again, the simplicity of country. Sorry if you heard me messing with my buttons right there. I was trying to go around. I was trying to get the track list in order. So I wasn't jipping you on anything. I want to give you detail, down to the detail, and I want it to be accurate. So just going through that. So those are two new huge country albums, in my opinion, because it's two of my favorite artists. And I'm happy they released it just in time for the warmer weather. Granted, we're not totally there yet. Again, 40s and 50s, but still, I'm taking what I got right now. We had a good winter. We got spoiled. I am not complaining. We got spoiled this winter, so I'm not going to complain if we have 40s and 50s in March and maybe even in April. I'll take what we get. I'm done arguing with you, Mother Nature. I've been like stumbling over a lot of my words. I apologize. I haven't had coffee. I haven't had my energy drink, like I said, because I don't drink either of those. I did a little bit of Coke because, hey, what are you going to do? You don't drink coffee. You don't drink energy drinks. Cocaine. Just kidding. I don't do coke. I have to clarify that I don't do that, I think, because I had a headache at work the other day, and I told a coworker that, and she was like, "Hey, well, I have these prescription pills for migraines. Do you want one?" And I said, "My probation officer said I can't take pills," and she thought I was serious. So I should clarify, I don't do cocaine. I'm a father of a 21-month-old. 21, 21, 21. I don't do drugs. I drink now and then, but like I just said several times, I'm cutting back on that. So just put the rumors to bed. The rumors have not rung true in that department. Anyway, where was I? I don't even know. So we're just going to move on to the next thing. Chris Rock's new special, new stand-up special, Selective Outrage, aired on Netflix a couple weeks back. It's all right. I was told that he did the thing live, which, you know, fuck it, we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks. It's a little clip from a, well, it's a tidbit of a clip. It's a clip of a clip from a famous clip of a news anchor getting very upset that the prompter keeps messing up. So eventually he just says, fuck it, we'll do it live. Fuck it. Fucking thing sucks. They use it as a sound clip on the This Is Important podcast. Shout out TII. All right. Chris Rock's new special is all right. I was told he did it live, and that kind of explains a lot because a lot of the delivery, like, was not as... Chris Rock is a legend. He's one of the funniest stand-ups of all time. He's earned his place in the Mount Rushmore of comedians for some people. Mount Rushmore of African-American comedians, absolutely. Like, he's one of the funniest humans to ever grace the stage. That's why he's gotten as far as he's gotten. He combines just that, it's like, it's loud, it's kind of in your face. It's not Sam Kinison loud, but it's loud. He gets loud, and he makes good points, too. He's smart. But he can make it funny, you know? He kind of makes you think a little bit. It's good. It's good, and he does it well. But this one, you know, I'm not saying, like, hey, hang it up, man, you're done. I would not say that. I would never say that about a legend. But, you know, maybe change a few things. Maybe don't do the next one live. Maybe edit the shit out of that, yeah? Make it look real nice. Cause this one, there were just several moments where I was like, ooh, that didn't come out right, did it? And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I listened, they roasted it on the bonfire. They mostly roasted the way he was dressed. So he kind of wore all white. He had these pants on that still had the tag, and it was like a big ass tag. So that was obnoxious. He had these platform shoes on. I forgot what kind of shoes they were. It was some expensive brand, Gucci or Louis Vuitton or some shit, you know? And then he had a button-down white shirt on, and he had a Prince chain on, which they ripped on that on the bonfire. I don't know if that's worthy of ripping on. Like, he was friends with Prince, so he wore a chain to maybe honor him or pay tribute. I don't think it's just because it looks cool, you know, but... And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, like that does seem like something I would do like back in the day to think I was cool. And Chris Rock is like almost, you know, he's in his 50s, I think. If that maybe I'm assuming he's in his 50s. He talks about all the drugs he's done. So maybe he just looks like he's in his 50s. I don't know. I think he's in his 50s. It was all right though. He talks about, you know, all the touchy subjects and woke culture and cancel culture and the Roe v. Wade shit. And of course, he ends it by talking about Will Smith. Goes in on Will Smith. Fucks him up. Calls him a bitch. Calls him, you know, like calls him a bitch multiple times. Like a lot. Like enough for it to like stick. It sticks with you for sure. Not too much on Jada, but mostly on Will because... Will's the one that fucking smacked him on stage at the Oscars. And he goes in on Will. So it's all right. Definitely not the best Chris Rock special ever. I would argue to say far from it. But it's only an hour, like most stand-up specials are. Give it a shot. If you're a Chris Rock fan, if you don't like Chris Rock, then obviously don't give it a shot. Why would you do that? This is for people who are generally Chris Rock fans. So there's that. I still have to watch Bert Kreischer. Oh my God, I can't fucking talk. Get it together, Joe. Oh yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't do drugs. Why did I make that joke? That was dumb. Okay. Still haven't watched Bert Kreischer's new special, Razzle Dazzle. That is on Netflix as well. I'm going to get to it. Yeah. Whew. A few quick notes before we take another break. Ted Lasso is back. Very excited about that. Watched the first episode. It was great. Nate is full on the bad guy working with Rupert. And Ted Lasso is just as charming as ever. The character in the show in general. It's just a real, real nice show. It's a real nice watch. Then we also started watching Shrinking because we were waiting for Ted Lasso. And then HBO Max wasn't working for a little bit. That was a whole thing. I had to factory reset my Roku. God damn it. It's whatever. It worked out. Shrinking with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. Another good show. It's from the same producers of Ted Lasso, so you know it's kind of a feel-good, and I love Jason Segel. I think this is a great role for him, and I think it's a great show. So definitely check out Shrinking if you're looking for something to watch and you want to laugh a little bit, feel good. It is really funny, too, just like Ted Lasso. Like, yeah, it's kind of a feel-good thing, but it also is very funny. And then they throw in some real parts, some drama, you know? It's a good mix. It's a good blend. I like that. And the Quasi trailer dropped. I mean, there's been a bunch of trailers that have dropped since the last time I did a podcast, but Quasi I'm excited about the most outside of like Evil Dead. And, you know, I still want to see Scream, like I said before. Quasi is the Broken Lizard guys back at it again. Back at it again with the White Fens. They're back at it again with a movie called Quasi, in which they each play multiple characters. So that'll be funny. I'm sure they'll touch on that a little bit, make some jokes out of it. And it's just set in the medieval days. It's about Quasimodo. And it looks real funny. So check out the trailer that's dropping on Hulu. Hulu only. It's not going to theaters. So it's kind of sad to see, like, you know, even Super Troopers 2 had to be crowdfunded and whatnot. And now they're making straight to Hulu movies. But I mean, I guess that's also the way it is nowadays. A lot of movies are going straight to streaming. Can still be nominated for awards. So I don't know if Quasi's the one that's going to get him nominated, but we'll see. Does look pretty funny. Drops on 420. Very sick. Very sick indeed. Very cool. So there's that Quasi trailer. All right. I am done talking for now, but I will be back. Don't you worry. Either to wrap it up or just to keep on going. Again, the train, it keeps on chugging, despite how ruggedy and ragged and decrepit the tracks are. It keeps going. It's a strong train. Oh, yes. Strong like bull. Okay. Be right back. 3 second break. Here we go. All right, everyone. Welcome back to episode 61 of Feel Good Friday. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, hey. I know you like that. That was a little little tidbit from a Mace song back in the day. I think it came out around 2005, 2004, that era. Yeah. I don't know why I have a very vivid memory with that song. For whatever reason, whenever I hear it, my mind goes to, I think I was listening to it on my CD player. I was carrying my CD player with me as I was walking around a track of some high school. I wasn't in high school at the time. I was there for some like charity fundraiser type of thing. It's like, walk for chlamydia. I don't think it was for chlamydia, but it was some kind of awful disease that we were walking for. In my young brain, I'm like, I don't get what this is going to do for this disease. But you know what? They're serving pizza and Pepsi. So I'm down. Going to lose some weight and listen to my Mace. but I didn't have the Mace album. I heard that I had that song on an album that was, I believe, The Source Presents Hip Hop Hits, and I think it was 8 that it was on. It was either 8, 7, or 9. It was either 8, give or take one. So there's a memory that you don't give a fuck about. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. We've talked about music. We've talked about movies. We've talked about comedy. What else do we have to talk about? Sports. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. I haven't talked about sports since I talked about Patrick Kane getting traded to the Rangers. That was before I left for Disney. It's been over 2 weeks. So you know what? I'm going to talk about some sports. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about baseball because I'm about to do a whole episode on baseball. All right? The MLB preview special. Get stoked. I am going to talk about a little bit of NBA, a little bit of NHL, and then a lot of March Madness because that's what's going on right now. Currently, March Madness is happening. The madness is upon us. It's coming all over us. Or upon us, whatever. Coming upon us sounds a little more epic, whereas coming all over us is, that's, you know what I'm trying to say when I say, like, that's sexual. So, upon us, though, that's like, uh-oh, here comes the madness. So, transitioning, let's talk a little bit about the playoff picture for the NBA and for the NHL right now. We'll go NBA first. Eastern Conference layout is looking like this. The Bucks have the 1 seed. They're 52-20. They have the best record in the league. Giannis is killing it, putting up MVP numbers, although he's third in the race for MVP right now. And there's only like 2 weeks left of the season. There are some crucial games coming up. The Bucks do play the Nuggets, and the Bucks do play the Sixers. And then the Sixers play the Nuggets as well. So all these teams with the MVP candidates are facing each other. Those are going to be some huge games, and depending on how they go, that could decide who ultimately gets the MVP. I personally think Giannis is getting disrespected right now. Disrespected's hard. I mean, he's third in the MVP race, and there are a lot of players in the league, so third in the MVP race is not bad, but I think he's getting slept on because he's had it before. Same with Jokic. If Jokic hadn't had it before, I think he'd be more of a favorite, but these voters and these people in charge are like, you know what, we need something new. Embiid really gives a shit. But the thing is, like, I don't mind. Obviously, he's passionate about the game and he wants to win, but I'd say you should care more about a championship than an MVP. Like, he gave, like, interviews last year because he thought he got robbed. It's like, dude, get a championship. That way you won't have to give a shit about the MVP. You shouldn't right now. You should care about a championship. You don't have a championship yet. Help lead Harden to his first well-deserved ring. Doc Rivers, can he, you know, show that he can break his playoff spell? I don't know. That's what I think. I like Embiid. I do. I think he's funny. He was on a Lil Dicky song. He was on Earth by Lil Dicky. He had a line in there. He seems like a cool dude, but I don't know. I think Giannis is definitely getting slept on because he's won it before. So I don't know if that's necessarily fair, but it is what it is. He is on the best team. 52-20 Bucks. Middleton looks healthy. Drew Holiday looks great. Brooke Lopez is playing out of his mind. The Bucks are going to be a problem. And actually, I think they're my favorites to win it this year. Since the NBA special with Donnie and Griffin, the Nuggets have kind of not totally fallen off. They're still number one in the West. They still have a great record. Jokic is still playing great. The way the Bucks are playing right now, it's going to be hard to stop them. Celtics are number two. I thought the Celtics were going to be the number one team all year. And then, I don't know, shit happens and maybe it's bad coaching. Marcus Smart is not playing well at all. So there are several things that have happened. Jaylen Brown has been great all year, though. He's been severely underrated. And some would argue he's been better than Tatum, although Tatum is for sure the leader of the team. Some could argue that Jaylen Brown has been more of a backbone for the team than Jason Tatum has. But they're number two at 50-23, so they're 2.5 games back. The 76ers out of Philly are 3 games back at 49-23 at the 3 seed. That is Embiid's team. They're number 3. Giannis's team, number 1. Just saying. And Middleton was out for a while, too. Also, just saying. Cleveland, number four at 47-28. You got the New York basketball Knicks, 42-33. They're sitting at the 5 seed. The Heat have climbed their way up to the 6 seed. They're at 40-34. The Heat, always a dangerous team. Heat culture, it's a thing. It's a thing. And Jimmy Butler is just one of the toughest motherfuckers in the league. I love that. Tyler Hero, if he can bring it, you know, Bam, they got the squad. They can make some noise. They could be a problem. So I'm going to say the Nets have fallen back to the 7th seed. The Hawks are at the 8th seed. The Nets, I'm secretly rooting for them now that all those stars are gone, you know, all that fucking ego and shit is out of there. Now they're kind of like this lovable team of like misfits that got put together, and they're still 3 games above the Hawks between 7 and 8 seeds. So 39-34, they should be fine. The Hawks are 36-37. The Nets should be all right. They should make the playoffs still. I would love to see the Mets. Wrong New York team. Wrong sport. Wrong ballpark, if you will. My bad. I would love to see the Nets make some noise. I would. That'd be fun. But you got the Hawks at the 8th seed at 36-37. Fuck Trae Young. I'm over that guy. He seems like a dick. He seems like a bad teammate. Seems like a bad player to coach. I'm over him. You got the Raptors at 9. And then you got my lovables at the 10th seed. A game and a half above the Pacers at the 11th seed. Now the Bulls are 34-38. So obviously with 2 weeks left to play, there is still a chance that they could miss the playoffs. Or the play-in tournament, that is. They could definitely miss the playoffs. All they got to do is lose in the play-in tournament and they're out, which is very likely. But they could, I don't know, they could sneak in. They're not making a run, but they don't have a first-round pick this year, so might as well fuck up Orlando, you know? So like I said, 11 is the Pacers, 12 is the Washington Wizards, 13 is that Magic team that I like so much. They're 31-43, just beat the Knicks last night. Paolo looks great. I think, like I said, they're going to be a problem for some years to come. Watch out for the Magic for the next 7 years. Just threw a number out there. Why not 7? Then you got the Hornets at the 14 seed, 23-51. And then you got the Pistons at the 15th seed at 16-57. They are 36.5 games back of the 1 seed. I'm going to be honest. I don't think they're going to get the 1 seed. I don't. It just doesn't seem likely. So, Wiseman's playing fine. I don't see them coming back from a 36.5 game deficit with less than 36 games to play. There's a little bit of math there that just doesn't work in their favor. It's sad. I know. It is what it is, though. So that's the Eastern Conference. The Bucks, still my favorite to come out of the Eastern Conference. They're just, everyone's playing really well on that team right now, including Brook Lopez, who's playing like an all-NBA center, straight up. He's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. A lot of people think he deserves it. A lot of people think he's going to win it. So we'll see what'll happen with the Bucks. Let's move over to the West. Nuggets, number one. 3.5 games above the Grizzlies, who are number two. The Nuggets, there was a slip. They lost like 4 or 5 games in a row. They weren't looking good. That's when Jokic fell out of the MVP race, or at least fell out of the one spot for the MVP race. They were just looking for it. I knew they were. They were looking for him to slip up. And the thing was, Jokic didn't really slip up. The team did. The team lost the games. Jokic was playing fine. And then everyone was like, oh, shit, there it goes. Put Embiid at number one. Again, I'm saying this like it sounds like I really don't like Embiid. I do like Embiid. I think he's a great player. He's phenomenal. He's dominant. He's fun to watch. He's kind of incredible to watch. He's a talent, like amazing talent. But I just think Jokic and Giannis are getting treated unfairly because they've won it before. So that's my only thing. And I'm a big Jokic fan. Maybe I'm a big Giannis fan. Those are two of my favorite players. So whatever. Okay. Big Honey. That's my MVP. Or Giannis. Embiid? Might. All right. So right now I'd have it Giannis, Embiid, Jokic. Straight up. That would be my MVP race. I would have Giannis at number one. Jokic, I do think, like, I don't know. I think he's amazing, but I think he's won two. He won two in a row. It's time to move on to rings. You got your MVP award. You're fun, like, everyone knows you're a great player because you won two of them. That's a huge feat. Let's get some rings now, Jokic. What do you say, huh? See if they could put it together. The Grizzlies at number two. Ja Morant is back after all that bullshit that he was going through. He's back. He looked like he got right back into it. He's playing fine against the Rockets the other day. I think it was the Rockets. It was either the Rockets or the Hornets. I believe it was the Rockets. Yeah, he looked like he hadn't lost a step. So, I don't know what he did on that break of his, but whatever it was, it looks like it hasn't affected his game at all. Still looks like an amazing player. Just got to, you know, not take your guns out at strip clubs. That's a simple rule to follow, right? And don't take your gun out at a strip club. You would think it would be easy to follow. I get it, though, Ja. I get it. I was just want to take my gun out when I'm around a bunch of people. Anyway, Kings at number three. The Kings, 43-29. For whatever reason, I think a lot of people are like, the luster is dying for the Kings, and I don't know why. I think they're still fun. I think they could still make a lot of noise in the playoffs. I think they could still be a problem for a lot of teams. And at the three seed, you got to take them a little bit seriously. Now, here's where the drop-off happens. So you got Nuggets, Grizzlies, Kings. Kings are 5.5 games back from the Nuggets. 2 games back from the Grizzlies. From 3 to 4, you go Kings to Suns. 5 game difference. Suns are 5 games back from the Kings. They're 38-34. Kevin Durant is dealing with an injury. Who knows how he's going to be when he comes back? When is he coming back? I don't know. He hurt himself in warmups in the pregame. And then he got back up, and I'm like, all right, he's going to be fine. No, he's been out for like multiple weeks now. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Clippers at number 5, they just lost Paul George to a sprained knee injury. It looked a lot worse than a sprained knee. It looked like he like fucking just broke and tore everything in his knee because it just looked like it fucking gone. But he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, or he's getting reevaluated at least in 2 to 3 weeks. But that's what they said about LeBron with the foot thing, and he's been out longer than 2 weeks, I'll tell you that much. The Warriors are number 6 at 38-36. Warriors are one of those teams, they could turn it on. It's Steph Curry. He's the greatest shooter on God's green earth. He's, as Stephen A. Smith would say, the greatest shooter that God has ever created. I believe that as well, Stephen A. You're not alone. You're not alone. And I know you really care about what I think. Then you got the Timberwolves at number 7. They're at 537-37. Karl Anthony Towns is back. And I think Mike Conley is, he's a tool that, like, he's not a huge. So when they got Mike Conley, I wasn't like, oh, fuck, all right, championship-bound Timberwolves. But I think he's allowing Gobert to play how he was expected to play when they traded for him, which is a lot better than he's been playing. And I think that's huge, especially now that it's down the line and the playoffs are on the way. Timberwolves will probably have to be in the play-in tournament, but I definitely think they could win. You got the Mavericks at the 8th seed. The Kyrie trade is now working out. 36-37, they're under 500. Just a disappointment. Just a disappointment. This is crazy, because usually I'm the one that's getting called a disappointment, but today I get to call the Mavericks a disappointment. Kyrie and Luka, two of arguably the best players in the game right now. You can't even argue that, I don't think, that they are two of the best players in the game. They're both top 20 for sure. You could argue top 15. And they're the 8th seed. They've gotten worse since they got Kyrie. Worse. So, yikes. Don't know what's going on in Dallas. Love me some Luka, but I don't know if Luka Kyrie is going to work out. The Pelicans are at number 9 at 36-37. So I'll tell you, this is crazy. Timberwolves are at 7, the 7th seed, and they're 37-37. And then 8, 9, 10, 11 are all 36-37. They're all 13 games back at the first seed, so they're all tied between 8 and 11. Mavericks, Pelicans, Lakers, Thunder. The Jazz are 35-37. So they're only a half game back from that race. And like I said, the Timberwolves were 37-37. That's the third time I've said it. Sorry. they're only a half game in front of that race. So 7 through 12 are all within a game of each other. That's fucking nuts. That's really crazy to me. Like, that is such a tight race. I don't know who's going to make the play-in, who's not. Like, that's exciting. And I get it's for a later seed, so it's not super exciting because it probably won't work out for any of the teams. But, hey, anything could happen in the playoffs. It's the beauty of the sports. The beauty of the sports. And then you got the Trailblazers at 32 and 40. They're at the 13 seed. I think they're trailing off just because they're the Trailblazers. So I said trailing off. Okay, 14 seed is the San Antonio Spurs, 19 and 54. Yikes. This is a Greg Popovich coach team, and they're one of the worst teams in the league, but not as worse. I mean, man, my words this segment, I don't know if I'm in a rush or what. I got chicken rings in the oven, so maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just too anxious for those, and my mind keeps going to chicken rings because I'm going to toss them in buffalo sauce, and I'm just going to have myself a great fucking lunch. Don't judge me. Do not judge me. Anyway, like I said, the Spurs are not as bad as the Rockets. The Rockets are the 15th seed at 18 and 55, making them the worst. No, I'm sorry. The Pistons are worse. The Pistons are 16 and 57. Whew. I was like, wait a second. The Rockets have to be. I literally just talked about the Pistons, but I've been through so many teams since then. I forgot that the Pistons are actually two games worse than the Rockets. Wow. Wow. The Rockets, I think, can be a lot better. Same with the Pistons. I mean, it's the Wembanyama sweepstakes. That's what it is. So, a lot of teams tanking for Wembanyama, and we'll see if it works out for him. I don't know. I think, I don't know where he would end up that would be the best fit for him. Big Cat keeps talking about the Bulls getting him. The Bulls don't have a first-round pick this year. They gave it to the Magic for Vooch. So, hopefully he realizes that soon. I've heard him mention it multiple times. They were just interviewing Ari Shaffir, great comedian, and very offensive, quote-unquote. But they were just interviewing him, and they were talking about the Bulls, and they were saying, like, you know, Big Cat was saying, all right, we're going to tank for Wembanyama. Like, we don't have the first-round pick. Someone's got to tell that man that. Anyway, let's switch over to hockey, boys. Yeah, what do you say? Eastern Conference goes first. Again, ladies first. I'm just kidding. The Eastern Conference has the Boston Bruins, which they are still historically good. They're 55-11. Well, 55-11-5, technically. But they got 115 points so far. The regular season is not done. 115 points. The only team that has close to that are the Carolina Hurricanes, also in the Eastern Conference, at 100 points. So technically it's close, but that's just because it has three digits. They just broke 100 last night. They also clinched their playoff berth. So good job, Canes. Go Canes. Raising Canes. Kane and The Undertaker, Brothers of Destruction. And I am running out of things. Citizen Kane. Candy Kane. I'm done. Cocaine. All right. The Maple Leafs, right behind the Bruins at 43-19-9. So not right behind the Bruins, but they're 95 points. Then you got the Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm over them. Hope they, they'll probably make the playoffs, but I'm over them. I'd rather see the Bruins than the Lightning. That's how over the Lightning I am. To be honest, the Maple Leafs are the Panthers, though. Those teams, I would love to see that. I want someone different. You always want someone different. If it's not your team, you want something different most of the time. Most of the time. The Senators are at 75 points, so they're making a little bit of a push. I don't think it's going to get them there, though. Next year, Ottawa. Next year. Those are my boys. Sabres right behind the Senators with 72 points. Then you got the Red Wings. Then you got the Montreal Canadiens at 62 points. So then you go to the Metropolitan Division. You got the Canes, like I said, at 100 points, 46, 16, and 8. They just clinched their playoff berth. Then you got the Devils behind them, and then the Rangers behind them. The Rangers have been on a tear. There was a two-game stretch where they outscored their opponents. They outscored their opponents. 13 goose. Woo, boys, 13 goose. That's wild. So Kane's doing great, and I'm a wreck. Then you got the Islanders behind them, the Penguins behind them, Capitals, Flyers, Blue Jackets at 51. Blue Jackets, serious competition to get Connor Bedard with the Hawks, because they're at, you know, like I said, 51 points, and the Hawks are at 54. Speaking of the Hawks, let's move over to the Western Conference. It still bugs me out that the Blackhawks are in the Western Conference. Same with the Blues. It's like, this doesn't make sense, but okay. Central Division, Stars number one. 39-19-14, they have 92 points. The Wild right behind them with 91 points. Then you got the Avalanche sitting at 88 points. The Jets. Then you go to the Predators, the Blues, the Yotes, the Coyotes, and then the Blackhawks sitting in last place at 24-41-6. They got 54 points in the running for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, much like the Wembanyama sweepstakes. He's a heavily sought-after rookie. Some would call him a prospect because he's not technically a rookie yet. But they're in the race with the Blue Jackets and also the Ducks and the Sharks. Speaking of the Ducks and the Sharks, let's go to the Pacific Division. Golden Knights, 96 points. They're in the first place slot in that division. Hate the Golden Knights. They've been good ever since they came into the league as an expansion team. Think it's a lame logo. Think it's a lame name. Vegas is a cool city. Golden Knights. The Knights. Just call it the Knights. Why do you have to add golden? You know, Golden Knights, Golden Showers. I'll take a piss on that team. Probably not. They would all beat me up. Don't get me wrong. But like, just the logo and the name. But they're first. They're good as always. Then you got the LA Kings behind them. No Quick, no problem. That's what they said. They got 92 points. Oilers, McDavid is always going to make them a contender. I think this is going to be a theme for years to come. Let's see if he becomes a Mike Trout. Or if he becomes not a Mike Trout. Very poetic of me right there. Let's just see if he wins some championships or if he doesn't. I hope he does. He's a great player. I talked about him before as well. He has potential to be the GOAT. So him and Ovi are two current players that I think have the potential to be the GOAT. I don't think Crosby is there. I think Crosby is great, but I don't think he will be in that GOAT conversation. Whereas you can have it with Ovi. You could definitely make an argument. I guess you can make an argument for Crosby, but it probably will not turn out your way. In the future, I think McDavid has a true shot. Like I said before. And I'm not trying to disrespect Gretzky and be like, we need a new GOAT. I love Gretzky. He's the great one. He's amazing. 30 for 30 is great. I watch clips of him all the time just because I'm like, what makes him so great? And then I see like a highlight reel. And I'm like, that's what fucking makes him so great. Holy shit. So, Gretzky, he's the GOAT. I don't know if it's going to change. I'm just saying it could with McDavid and potentially Ovi as well. And Seth Jones, right? Just kidding. Then you got the Kraken at number four at 86 points. Then it goes to Calgary. You got the Flames sitting there. Vancouver Canucks. It's Canucks, I know. I mispronounced it on purpose because I'm a silly goose. What are you going to do? And then you got the Ducks and the Sharks as well. California teams not having a good time. Unless if you're the LA Kings, but Ducks and Sharks, San Jose, Anaheim, yikes. 56 and 53 points for them. So the Bedard sweepstakes are the Blue Jackets out of Columbus, then the Chicago Blackhawks, Anaheim Ducks, and the San Jose Sharks. So there's that. That was the playoff pictures, the standings, if you will, for the NBA and the NHL, because playoff time is coming up for both of those leagues. Very exciting time. I got Bucks winning the I'm switching from the Nuggets to the Bucks for the NBA. The Bucks just look too good right now. They're getting the hottest they've been at the right time. Giannis is playing out of his mind. Brooke Lopez now is out of his mind. And then you got Drew Holiday and Middleton who are there as well. Like, yeah. So I got the Bucks. They're going for that second ship in the Giannis era. And then hockey-wise, it's hard to get a bet against Boston. So I know it's boring picks. It's the best teams in each league. It's Milwaukee and Boston. But, I mean, the way, like, Boston hasn't let up. Boston has not taken their foot off the gas. They have been dominant all year. I don't see that changing. They got better at the trade deadline. I got to go Boston winning the cup. Do I want Boston to win? No. I'd much rather see the Senators or the Canes, or fuck, even the Rangers. I'd love to see Kane get another one. You know, hey, there's another Kane. I didn't even think about that. I was trying to think of Kane examples earlier. Anyway, so I got Bruins and Bucks. Who do I want? Senators. They might not even make the playoffs. Oilers would be fun. Senators or Oilers is who I want. Canes, third, I guess. Bruins are who I think is going to win. Basketball. Bucks are who I think are going to win. I don't think I would mind the Bucks winning. Like I said, I really like Giannis. Really like Jrue Holiday. Brooke Lopez is awesome. Want the Bulls to win. So get in the play-in and then anything can happen. Go Bulls. Let's go Bulls. It's Bill Murray from Space Jam at the end. No biggie. It's a deep cut. Let's talk about college basketball. It's only been 27 minutes. You guys can spare a little bit, right? A little bit more. College basketball, it's March Madness. You got to talk about March Madness. While it's going on, I've been slacking. It's already the Sweet 16, and I haven't said a word about March Madness. So fuck me, I guess. But it's getting down to the wire now. I'm not going to go through it all. I'm just going to say Purdue losing in the first round as a 1 seed to the 16 seed. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. Cody called that they were going to lose in the Sweet 16, which I'm thinking he thought was like, you know, a disappointment. And then they lost in the first round to FDU, who went on to lose to Florida Atlantic, who then Florida Atlantic went on to beat Tennessee in the Sweet 16. That's pretty dope. And then last night, Gonzaga beat UCLA. Kansas State beat Michigan State. Noel is the guy in Kansas State. He's definitely one of the biggest names of the tournament. Marquise Noel. He's a short king, and he's absolutely killing it. And Kansas State, definitely, like Big Cat has been saying, has Team of Destiny vibes, although UConn has looked dominant as well. They beat Arkansas last night. Arkansas was making some noise. They were breaking some brackets, and then UConn came along and took care of business. Beat them 88-65. You beat a team by 23. Yikes. But teams left. You still got Alabama and San Diego State. Still got Houston and Miami. Miami beat Indiana. I was bummed about because I just bought an Indiana Hoosiers shirt that I'm going to wear for my Indy trip. Get pumped. Today you also got Princeton and Creighton playing each other. That should be a fun game. Princeton is another bracket buster. They've been killing it. They've been knocking out teams that they have no business beating. And they're just beating them. Ivy League school. And I'll be honest, I think they could beat Creighton. Creighton's the 6th seed, but I don't really know what's too special about him. Don't get me wrong, Creighton, like, it hasn't been an easy path for him. I'm not saying this has been a lollipop thing for them or whatever. But I could see Princeton going on to the Elite Eight. So I'm going to say. And then you got Xavier in Texas to round that out. Yeah, so that'll be a fun one too. I don't know. It's the madness. There have been lots of disappointment. Like, Creighton beat Baylor, so that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Creighton did beat Baylor 85. They beat him by 9, too, and, you know, that's just a dominant display. It's a 6 seed going against a 3 seed. You think it'd be a little closer, but then, you know, you also got St. Mary's going against UConn. You thought that would be closer. That's a 5 seed going against a 4 seed. UConn beat him 70-55, so. Michigan State knocking out Marquette. Had a lot of people upset. That rhymed. I show no regrets. Oh, at least not yet. Oh, now I'm done because I got to go pay my debt. Oh, now I'm really done. Alabama looks like the team to beat. Alabama still looks like the team to beat despite Texas playing well, despite Gonzaga beating TCU and UCLA, despite Kansas State having the Team of Destiny vibes, despite UConn being dominant. I think Alabama is still the team to beat, despite all the fucking legal shit that Alabama's been dealing with. Like, here's the thing, though. I'm not there. I'm not even close to, like, anything that's happening there. I will say, if this happened to another team, or even, let's talk about this. If this Now, if you don't know what's going on, there's a whole lot of legal issue in Alabama. Their star player apparently brought a gun to someone, and then that gun that he brought to someone was later used in a murder. Awful situation. It's fucked up. It's college. These are kids. Sucks. However, they're letting the kid play. That upsets a lot of people. Now, it upsets me, but it only upsets me because if that happened to another player on the team, like someone coming off the bench, I don't think they would let him play. And then further than that, if that happened to another team, if that happened to the star player on another team, that is, like if that happened to the star player on Florida Atlantic, I don't think they would let him play. I don't know if they would let the team play. It would be much harsher consequences, but because Brandon Miller is the star of Alabama, and I'm hoping it's Brandon Miller, and I'm not just saying Brandon Miller as if, like, I'm pretty sure it's Brandon Miller. I'm going to, fingers crossed. It is. I'm right. Okay. Whew. That was a close one. I was about to get real embarrassed. I've never done anything embarrassing on this podcast before. Damn. Well, yeah, I guess I have. Anyway, just took a quick trip down memory lane. Think about the time Anyway. So, I think it's being treated unfairly because Alabama's the number one seed. They've been so dominant. And the NCAA wants this. They want Alabama in the tournament. Because Alabama's predominantly known for their football. Nick Saban, obviously. One of the greatest college coaches of all time, if not the greatest. I would say he's the greatest. I grew up watching him dominate. You know? Not like in the bedroom. Like, I wasn't watching like him dominate like sexually. I don't know if he's into that. He might be a sub kind of guy. I don't even know if he might just be a missionary kind of guy. And he'll still be like studying the playbook. Like he'll like put the playbook on the headboard. But he won't let his wife know. He'll like put it up there. And he'll be like, no, I'm just trying not to come. Anyway. So Alabama's predominantly known for football. So now all of a sudden they're really good at basketball. And this is kind of, it's not a big deal. Like some teams have this streak of luck. UCLA was, Kentucky had really good, you know, football streak. They were playing really well because they had Will Levis. And all of a sudden they were really good. I don't know if Alabama's going to stay dominant in basketball. Probably not. The Blue Bloods should make a return eventually. All the Blue Bloods are out. Duke, Kentucky, UNC didn't even make the fucking tournament. And then Kansas got knocked out as well from Arkansas. So, I don't know. I just think if it were a different team that wasn't as famous as Alabama, a.k.a. Creighton, Princeton, Florida Atlantic. Of course, that would never happen at Princeton. It's an Ivy League school. We all got our fucking silver spoons up our asses. There's probably some cool people at Princeton, whatever. I judge. Call me Judy. Call me Judge Jody, am I right? Dumb joke. You're going to jail. All right. That's my thing about the Alabama situation. So it's good to see Drew Timmy still out there. I remember watching him as a kid. Still killing it for Gonzaga. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the tournament. I don't want Alabama to win it all. But I think they will. Especially if nothing happens to Brandon Miller. Like, I don't see a lot of teams stopping them. Gonzaga would be fun to finally see them get it. Princeton or Creighton making a run. Kansas State as the team of destiny. I don't know who I really want to win it right now. Honestly, I would love to see Florida Atlantic win it. I love a good underdog story when it comes to March Madness. Love a good underdog story. So Creighton, Florida Atlantic, Princeton, and then Kansas State. That's not really an underdog. They got one of the best players in the country, if not the best, at least for this tournament. So that is my March Madness take, but my prediction is Alabama. But my hopeful. My hopeful is going to be Florida Atlantic. That's who I'm rooting for now. I wanted it to be Oral Roberts. They lost in the first round to Duke. I don't have any affiliation with Oral Roberts. I just think it's a funny name. Because it has the word oral in it, which is, you know, tied to blowjobs. Funny stuff. All right. That's 36 minutes. I'm going to be done here, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to wrap it up real quick, burrito style. It's going to be a messy burrito. It's going to be so messy because I'm going to wrap it up real quick because I've been talking for far too long, and I'm confident you don't care, and you're probably zoned out at this point. But if you do care, thank you so much. I appreciate you tuning in. We'll be right back to wrap this thing up. Don't you worry. Don't you go anywhere. Don't hit that dial. Don't hit it. That's a reference to TV. And you're probably not listening to this on your TV. That'd be wild if you were. Is the technology there yet? Podcast? Well, yeah. I guess if I was on YouTube, I haven't done that yet. Man, I have a long way to go. All right, everybody. And we are back. Going to wrap up episode 61, burrito style. And yes, I always go with burrito instead of, you know, a buffalo chicken wrap or any other kind of food wrap. There are plenty of wraps out there. W-R-A-P. I go with burrito over hip-hop raps, you know. I don't say we're going to wrap this episode up Eminem style, Christmas present style. No, I go with burrito because burritos rarely do me wrong. I don't even like beans. I am not a bean guy. We talked about this before. Apparently, I look like a bean guy, but I'm not a bean guy. I don't like beans. But when you put beans in a burrito, I don't mind them. Something about a burrito, it's just delicious. You could fill it with whatever, and if you tell me that I'm having a burrito, there's a good chance I'm going to enjoy it. Now, I know I said you could fill it with whatever. There are limits. Like, you can't just fill it with cat piss. I'm probably not going to like that. If you take a flour tortilla and you press it like they do at Chipotle, and then you just have a cat pee on it, probably not going to enjoy that burrito. Also, that would be a very thin burrito. Cats may pee a lot, but not enough to fill up a burrito shell. So, not anything, but most things. Typical foods. If you put it in a burrito, probably going to enjoy it. So there is the reason I go with burrito style. It's just a food that rarely does me wrong. It's up there with pizza and boneless buffalo wings. Rarely does me wrong. So there you go. There you have it. I know you've all been begging for that one. So I figured I'd just shed some light on that topic. Real quick before I go, I do want to talk about social media real quick, which is a topic that it's weird. I'm still on the Instagrams and the Facebooks, but I'm definitely not as in touch as I used to be. However, I'm in touch enough. Follow a lot of things, see a lot of memes. I go on there for the memes these days. The memes or the news. Sports news mostly, but still, I get some news from there. It's useful in that aspect. Now, is it harmful? Yeah. Social media is filled with people posting what they're doing and how they're looking and all the progress they're making. And yes, it is okay to be proud of yourself. I am not saying that. And it's okay to show it off. However, there are some minds that will see that and think, damn, look at all the progress they're doing. Why am I not there? Why haven't I done that? What have I done wrong that has prevented me from getting there? And they put it on themselves just because one person is going above and beyond and trying extra hard. You know, life isn't easy. Not everyone's going to have the same amount of motivation all the time. And I see a lot of posts that are like, no excuses. Everyone's got the same body. Everyone's capable. And while that is physically true most of the time, although there are paraplegics out there, hashtag no legs. Don't know why I hashtagged that. Sorry. Wish I could take that one back, but fuck it. We're doing it live. Fuck it. Anyway, I see a lot of excuses that are like, no excuses. You know, you only have this one life. You might as well. I hate memes or posts that are, they think that they're being positive. And they're saying like, you go out and you get in shape or something. Like, just let people be happy. I don't know. Like, that's my thing. That I see a lot of posts that are, they think they're being positive and saying like, oh, you know, You're almost 30. I don't want to be talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe or video games or stuff like that. Some 30-year-olds want to do that, and they're not hurting anyone, so fucking let them do that. All humans are different. I keep hearing all the time, like, because I have questions about Finn, and everyone will say, like, you know, all babies are different, and all humans are different. Grown adults are different. Everyone's got things that they like. Everyone's got things that they don't like. That's kind of why society is great, in my opinion. You get to learn new things. I don't know shit about anime, but I got a lot of friends who do. And, you know, they'll talk about it to me, and I'm not going to watch it. I'm not, but I'm definitely interested to hear, like, I let them know that I'm interested, because if anything, at the very least, they want to talk about it because it makes them happy. Who am I to prevent someone's happiness? Who are you to prevent someone's happiness? We've all been through shit. Doesn't give you the right to be like, you know, stop acting immature. Like, if someone's happy, if someone's trying to find happiness, let them do it however they want. Try to help, yeah, but don't hit them with the, you know, we all got 24 hours in the day. You could be living on a yacht too. Like, no, you're not going to be living, at least there's a real good chance that you're not going to be living on a yacht. So there are other ways to, I don't know. I wish this segment was going better because it was supposed to be really deep. I hope you all know what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is don't let social media just tell you how to be happy. You know, don't look at these posts and think, all right, that's what I have to do. I have to go to the gym and I have to be more mature. I have to read. No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. If you enjoy doing that stuff, then yeah, absolutely do it. But if you don't enjoy doing that stuff, do whatever makes you happy as long as it's legal. That's the stipulation. You know, you can't, like, if murder makes you happy, fucking, all right, then maybe go to the gym. You know, then maybe do a little exercising instead of murdering. Yeah. But if it's anime, if it's video games, if it's making music, even if no one listens to your music, not a lot of people listen to this fucking podcast, but it makes me happy. So I make it and I put it out there. You really do only have one life. Maybe. I haven't died. I don't know what comes after. I like to think there's a heaven and hell. Well, honestly, I just like to think there's a heaven. You know, like everyone gets in and then you get there and God's like, you made it through like 29 years. What do you want your heaven to be? And then you get to design your own heaven. And I'm like, well, open bar 24/7. Thanks, big man. And then I want there to be a water park. And like, I want there to be my own movie theater. I want Jimmy Buffett performing nonstop, but not like in an enslaved way. Like, I don't want him to be wearing a ball and chain. I want him to be doing it out of the goodness of his heart. Because I think Jimmy Buffett would be there. Anyway, maybe Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen too. They could play their new albums for me. My point, yeah, that's my point. Is whatever makes you happy, just do it. Who cares what anyone else thinks? People are going to judge you. It's impossible to get away from that. If you think, like, if you're worried about everyone, like, that's, I'll tell you what, that is not the way to do it. To just be worried about what everyone thinks. It's just not healthy. But at the end of the day, I guess I can't really say that because that goes against worrying about what everyone thinks. It's not like that's illegal. So if you want to stress about it and worry what everyone thinks and really just keep pushing yourself to be the societal norm of cool, go for it. Keep chasing that dream. That's a hard one to achieve. You know? It's like when a fitness model says that she's fat. Or he's fat. I don't discriminate. 2023. Like, you look at them. Or at least a person like me looks at them. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You think you're fat? Or, you know, and they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I had two donuts earlier. I'm like, two donuts earlier? That's two donuts? You're worried about two, you know, it's like learning Tom Brady had like three wings at a party one time and felt bad about it. You know, everyone is different, but I don't know, just try your best to be happy because life really is short. And if you're not happy, I don't know, that's, if you're not happy, it's going to be a lot longer. We'll just say that. Or it may seem long, something like that. Again, I didn't really plan this segment out. I just kind of went for it because I saw a post that kind of like just irked me. It was kind of ripping on lifestyles just because they thought it was unhealthy. Like, let people be. Don't be a dick. You know, just let people be happy if they're happy. If they're not hurting you, shut the fuck up. If anything, just try to increase their happiness. Be like, hey, I did check out One Punch Cowboy or whatever the fuck the anime is called. You know, or hey, I did see the trailer for that movie. Looks great. I don't want to reach the end and be like, damn, I was a dick to people. I want to reach the end and be like, I made a lot of people happier or happy. That's how I want to look back. But just apparently got a stupid way of saying it if you listen to this segment. Tripping on my words a lot. It's okay. I did that throughout the whole podcast. It's a theme. Chaos. We always do it raw. Fuck it. We're doing it live. Fucking thing sucks. You got to look up that clip now. Or else you're just going to hear me cursing and you're going to think it's for nothing. It's not for nothing. I just saw that clip the other day, so I keep saying it. Even if something works perfectly fine, like I'll lose the remote and I'll be like, oh, fucking thing sucks. Fuck it. So look that up so I don't sound too crazy. If you could, much appreciated. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This has been another episode of Feel Good Friday. Episode 61 is officially in the books. We are wrapping it up burrito style. Episode 62 will be next. Probably going to be the MLB preview special. Although we might reschedule so we can get more people on, or we might do separate pots, you know, separate pots of the episode, separate pots. So that way we could have more people on. It just won't be all together. You know, interview Vince one-on-one, then get a little Craig, a little Craigers, you know, a little Duff, a little Dennis, maybe some Clayton, like just a bunch of baseball fans that I know of. And then I'll mash it all together, monster mash style. All right. Thank you so much for listening to 61. It's been a pleasure annoying you, probably boring you, but maybe entertaining you. And that's what I hope onto. Hope onto. That's how I fucking end it. God damn it. Fucking thing sucks.